Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. That's right, where sometimes we just might run out onto the field to mob poor Atlanta Braves player Ronald Acuña. Hey, we can't help it. We're all mostly high here, but we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, and your friends are all staying strong. You're all staying healthy. And we are glad to have you here with us today. And yes, we have finally made it, kids. Get ready, because this is a holiday week. On Monday, here in the US of A, we have Labor Day. But more importantly, college football is fully underway tomorrow. You don't even have to wait until the weekend. Tomorrow, do you realize that the Florida Gators will be going to Salt Lake City tomorrow to face number 14 Utah? And the Nebraska Cornhuskers are going to Minnesota to face the Golden Gophers. Hey, those are two decent games on a Thursday night. But then we have a full slate of college football games this weekend, including the Colorado Buffaloes going to number 17 TCU, Boise State at number 13 Washington, and on Sunday night, settle in because we have our first marquee matchup of the year when number 5 LSU faces number 8 Florida State in Orlando, Florida. Hey, football season is finally here, and we could not be more excited for it.
I'm just so glad it's back.
Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. In fact, if you stop by there this week, I gave a quick preview of all the local D1 schools here in this area. Might want to check out the schools in the Rocky Mountain region and see how they're going to look this year. But we do have links to the podcast. We have links to the videos. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking in with what is going on over there every week. Hey, today on the show, we have got a jam-packed show for you because we are going to be joined by a few friends of the Dose. And we are going to begin breaking down this 2023 NFL season. Who are going to be the contenders? Who are going to be the pretenders? We are going to hit every single team on our way to picking a Super Bowl champion. In fact, we have so much to get to, we need to jump over that right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we are bringing back some friends of the Dose, and we are going to be previewing that 2023 NFL season that promises to be unpredictable as usual. I know we have this week right now a little bit dead, waiting for college football to get started, but then next week, we are going to get going with a full slate of NFL games, and we're going to be off and running. First up, we have Mike from Castle Rock, a Denver Broncos fan who has been pretty bored the last few seasons, but welcome back, Mike.
Bored may not be the descriptive term as to my feelings of the last few years, but you know what? Everybody's undefeated at this point.
Exactly.
I think we all agree that the NFL is our favorite season. So let's get going.
By far. There is football season, and then there's waiting for football season. Next up, we have the savvy, wily veteran Utah Ute and Denver Bronco fan. Larry from Centennial is joining us again. Welcome back, Larry. It's been a little while since we've seen you.
Hey, great to be here. Can't wait. Point of clarification, rooting for the Utes, not really a Ute.
Your money is going to the Utes. A Ute.
What I have of it, yes. Yes.
Utes? Did you say Utes?
Did you say the two Utes? Hey, my money's going to this place over my shoulder.
I should not be confused with the Ute either.
So. No, you're not a Ute anymore. Those are years ago. You were a Ute a long time ago.
Cross finally, that bridge.
Exactly. We have our Daily Dose I Team president who was just on the show last week doing our college football preview where we crushed every pick that we made. Big Rob, our West Virginia Mountaineer and Philadelphia Eagles fan. Rob, you're doing like double, triple duty, whatever, but welcome back. We are always glad to have you join us.
Oh, yes. Good to be back. Get to talk to the big boys now, so I'm ready for it.
Now it's ramping up. You know, like I said, if you missed last week, me and Rob made our picks for the college football season, threw in a few surprises, got a few teams out there that they're going to do way better than people think. Going to have some teams struggle a little bit because we already picked it. And you can go back and listen to that and find out how that's going to go. But today, we're going to get started on our NFL picks. And first and foremost, you know, Rob and I were talking about this last week. I believe everyone in this panel right here has been coming on the dose since the very beginning. Do you realize in December it's going to be 9 years of doing this podcast? You guys have been coming in 8-9 years now. Like, you're getting close in that level. We kind of, I think Rob's been coming in 7-8 years now. You guys are right there as well. And I don't bring that up for the sake of you know, promoting the podcast, anything like that. I'm saying it because every single year we crush this NFL preview and we're going to do it again this year. And I just want to know, I don't invite stiffs in here. You come in, you know what you're talking about, and we lay out exactly what's going to happen. I believe everyone would be in agreement with that, right?
Well, that's why I keep coming back. I mean, there's one place in my life where I know I get everything right, and it's right here. So,
right here.
Yeah.
Right here, right now. Gentlemen, the 2023 season is nearly here, and as usual, we have a number of stories to discuss prior to even drilling down on divisions, and we're going to get to that. We're going to predict every division. We're going to talk about every team. We're going to name our playoff contenders, who's going to get in, who's not. But before we get to that, I've got a few stories I want to talk about first, and we're going to talk about this team a little bit later in the show, but the Washington Commanders have got themselves a brand new owner. After over 20 years of dysfunction, Daniel Snyder is out, and bazillionaire and awkward weirdo Josh Harris is in. Mike, if you're a Commanders fan, this has to feel great. Even if your team does struggle this year, it's got to be great to have that new owner, doesn't it?
It has to. I mean, Snyder was kind of an embarrassment among NFL owners with all of the nonsense that's been going on with that team, the lawsuits and the accusations, and just it was run just so poorly. So I think, yes, it is a storied franchise. You know, they've got to be ecstatic to get that nonsense behind him and work on building the team back.
Well, and we've seen Washington for years and the fan base that they have and the sellouts that they've had. And we saw in the last 2 or 3 years, they couldn't even get people to come to the games. I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. Somehow Daniel Snyder managed to drain a little more out of the pool, and that franchise has got to be feeling great. Even like I said, if it doesn't turn out on the field, who cares? At least now you have a starting point. You can get things going. We also have a group of players in the NFL that are feeling very left out this year. Running backs are not happy with their contracts because they're going down so much in recent seasons. And over the offseason, we had Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard. They all spoke out this offseason about how they are so upset that running backs keep getting the franchise tag and that money is dropping as they age. Larry, is there any way to legislate this for running backs, or are running backs just going to have to accept, hey, it's a new league, it's a new style, these are spread offenses, and like it or not, quarterbacks and wide receivers right now are going to make the big money?
Yeah, they have to. I mean, you know, the market changes. There's nothing you can do about it as things evolve. Hey, listen, 9 years ago when I was the manager of ancillary provisioning and I was complaining about the fact that I wasn't getting the money that I deserved, nobody listened either, right? So, yeah. No. All joking aside, yeah, they just kind of have to deal with it,
yeah.
Right? They're a utility piece right now. They get hurt.
Yeah.
By the way, you know,
often
and giving running backs big money when they're easily replaceable, maybe not easily, but they're replaceable. Teams are going to do what makes business sense, and they can complain about it all they want. But maybe they play a different position. You know, maybe the kids in college play a different position because it's not as lucrative as it once was. You know,
well,
I don't know, but they have to change with the times.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see. I think you're going to see more and more guys going to that wide receiver position. I think there's going to be even more guys maybe go on the defensive side of the ball, try to play corner or something like that, because right now those are getting bigger contracts than the running backs because, like you said, they get hit on every play. They get banged up. And when you hit 28, 29, a lot of people are going, oh, they're getting into their prime. No, they're about done. And we know most running backs have a finite number of carries in their bodies, and that's really all they're going to get. I know they've been taught, hey, maybe you let running backs come out to the NFL a year earlier. it doesn't make any sense. You're gonna have to suck it up. Hey, somewhere there's like a wing T back that says, "Hey, what happened to my position?" Those all went away. The H backs went away.
They did go away. And you know, you can't be in it at a running back for the, you know, the fame and glory anymore. I mean, there's going to be a couple, right? Yeah. There are always going to be a couple just guys that are exceptional. But, you know, if I can make a living for 6 years as opposed to 3.5 on average as a, you know, every other down running back, I'd do it. Why not?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
By far the lowest length of career by position is running back.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and you think back to when we were growing up, not counting Rob, because Rob's younger than we are, but one of the biggest positions in the game was the middle linebacker position. And you had great middle linebackers. You had Lambert and Ham and Gratishar and all those guys. And right now, name your team's starting linebacker, like middle linebacker. Everybody knows the edge guys. They get the stats. But the middle guy, you're like, I don't know. They plug a tackling machine in there, and I guess he does his job. It's not the same. But the game changes, and unfortunately, contracts and money change with it. You know, nothing like last year. But we do have a little bit of quarterback movement this season. Of course, the big one is Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay. He goes to the New York Jets. The Indianapolis Colts grabbed veteran Gardner Minshew, and then they drafted a rookie as well. The Houston Texans drafted C.J. Stroud. Green Bay now has to get started with Jordan Love. The Carolina Panthers drafted Bryce Young, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost Tom Brady to retirement. They brought in Baker Mayfield to replace him. Anyways, what could possibly go wrong there? Rob, did any of these moves stand out as being great moves or moves that could be actual success?
I think the first one you named has to be the biggest. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. You know, you think back to Stafford and the Rams, you know, Brady when he goes to the Bucks. Sure. Clearly, that's what they're going for. Manning when he came over to Denver. So, yeah, that's the big splash move. It's a good defense. I know we'll get into them later, but that's the one I'm most interested to see.
Yeah, I am too. And I think they have a chance to do something. The other ones feel like they're kind of moving for the sake of moving, but I don't know that any of them stand out to me. And a couple of them, I feel like they're going to actually be a little bit tough. We also have a few new head coaches in the league this year, as we usually do. The Carolina Panthers fired Matt Rhule before last year was even over. They brought in former Colts coach Frank Reich. Our Denver Broncos fired Nathaniel Hackett on Christmas night and hired former New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton. The Indianapolis Colts brought in offensive coordinator from Philadelphia, Shane Steichen. The Arizona Cardinals had enough of Cliff Kingsbury, so they let him go and grabbed Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. And the Houston Texans fired Lovie Smith and brought in 49ers DC D'Amico Ryans. Mike, out of all the coaching moves that we just talked about, and I know there's a lot there, is there one that stands out to you? Obviously, we know the one we're hoping for, but is there one that stands out to you and you go, no, that has a chance to work?
It's going to sound like the homer pick, but the pedigree is there for Peyton, right? Uh-huh. So every year I think past his first year, his team finished top five in the offense, Super Bowl winner, always got the most out of his team. I think pedigree-wise, that's got to go to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I'm really curious to see what D'Amico Ryans does with the Houston Texans. Uh-huh. I do like that one. And I like Reich as well. I think he got a bit of a raw deal there, going into a situation with a young quarterback, but a good young defense. So that's going to be an interesting one there. But I say Peyton of all of those.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think there's a few wait and sees because we haven't seen, you know, these coordinators be the head guy. And, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but when you move that one seat over and now everything's looking at you and everybody's looking at you, we saw Vic Fangio, we've seen Wade Phillips, we've seen a number of these guys, really good coordinators. And that one seat over, for whatever reason, I don't know, third down, they didn't know what to do. Fourth down, do we go for it? It's a different situation when everyone's looking at you. Going into the season, we always have some teams that seem to be on thin ice with their head coach, though. Now, obviously, here at the Dose, we never root for anyone to get fired. But we do have a few coaches starting off this year on the hot seat. I'm going to give you a couple. If you've got any others, I'd be glad to hear them. But Los Angeles Chargers coach Brandon Staley, he may need to win some games in the playoffs, not just in the regular season. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski, he needs to show some improvement. Washington head coach Ron Rivera, and we're going to talk about them, but there's new ownership there. You have to wonder if they're going to keep him. I think Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles could be in some trouble. And Mike McCarthy in Dallas is always going to be questioned because it's Dallas. Anybody else have another coach that could be on the list, or we want to talk about one of the ones that I just named?
I got one more you didn't mention. Dennis Allen with the Saints.
Yeah.
All the talent there ever since Peyton left, been kind of up and down. They have a quarterback in there. We'll see how he does. But I think if they have a bad season, I think this could be it for him.
I think he needs to do something. And we're going to talk about them, but they have a chance to do something. Mike, who did you have?
I think McDaniels again is on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think you probably were right. Vegas. I mean,
I don't think the cap hit or the hit is as bad as it is as it was last year.
Yeah.
After this season. So it may be more of a viable firing. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Well, and they've got, and we'll talk about them obviously at length, but they've got a lot of questions. And they did some really strange things in the offseason. Yeah, he could end up being on that hot seat as well. Plus, he's just a weird guy. And he kind of, I think there's a chance he could rub people the wrong way as well. Gentlemen, let's go ahead. Let's jump into some division previews. We're going to make our picks for who's going to win the division. We're going to make our picks for who's going to make the playoffs as a wild card. And we're going to jump in with the AFC East that produced two playoff teams last year in the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. But I'm telling you, I think every team in this division feels like they have a chance. They think they are at least playoff worthy. We're going to break down right now if they actually are. Let's start with those Buffalo Bills. And I'm getting a little worried about Buffalo, that their window might be closing, because the Bills went 13-3 last year, but then they lose at home to the Bengals in the playoffs. And yes, they still have quarterback Josh Allen. He can do everything. They still have a pretty good defense. But on the offensive side, their running game has never materialized. Their defense, at times, just doesn't show up. They disappear. We saw last year in that game against the Bengals. I mean, they just let the Bengals kind of move up and down on them. It sounds like wide receiver Stephon Diggs is unhappy. They also have to replace a few important members of that defense. Tremaine Edmonds is gone, and that is a huge piece. Larry, given the Buffalo Bills' history, how can they possibly manage to disappoint their fans yet again?
They have a history of it, so they're better at that than the other.
They're good at it. No, I'm going to give you that.
I'm still thinking that Buffalo has the edge here. I know, given their history, that we have a tendency to think that they're falling in back into that. But, you know, I just don't know what's going on, really, with the rest of the division. There's question marks everywhere.
Sure.
Across the board on this division, that there is no clear-cut winner, and so without, you know, anybody else stepping up to like be the, you know, absolute number one, I still got to give it to Buffalo with their talent and Josh Allen.
Well, and if they could get Von Miller healthy, if they could just keep all their people, bring in another running back, they brought in a tight end in the draft, they should be, shouldn't they? Does anybody have Buffalo not making the postseason? Everybody's got the Bills in. I have the Bills in. I think they're going to get in. Everybody else got anything on the Bills? They look like,
I think for the reasons that you went over, I think there's a lot of questions out there. Who knows how it could be, you know, squashed week one, but does the Stephon Diggs thing become a cancer in the locker room? Does it divide the team? Not a great defense, good defense. Not a great running back. I got him in a playoffs, but I've actually got him as a wild card.
Okay. I'm going to put him in as my division winner, but we'll get to all that. Let's move onward. The Miami Dolphins went 9-8 last year. They made the playoffs, but they were bounced out by those Buffalo Bills, who did it pretty easily, actually. Now, this Miami team has talent, especially on offense. And now Vic Fangio comes in to fix that defense because it was pretty awful last year. The concern, of course, is the health of quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. He led the league in passer rating last year, but he also led the league in like head injuries. I mean, if you could guarantee his health, I might pick the Dolphins to win the whole thing, but that is so iffy. Their schedule is going to be tough. Rob, the over-under on Tua having another head injury is 4.5 games. How are you betting?
I have to take the over. I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to,
okay.
But I'd have to. Yeah, I agree with you. This all comes down to Tua's health, injury prone, even back to college. I mean, hurt in college, obviously the concussions last year. So like I said, if you told me he's going to play, start every game this season, I'd definitely pick him. But like I said, I feel like either if it's not a concussion, you know, maybe he's gun shy, you know, or takes a bad hit that's not a concussion and just kind of changes his game and throws him off. And we saw, you know, without him, it's, you know, they're definitely not as good. So I've got him actually missing the playoffs.
Okay. Larry, you got Miami in or out?
I have him out for all the reasons Rob just said. And again, with nothing to tell me that there's going to be anything different. I got to, it's a prove it to me type scenario here with Miami, I think.
I would agree with that. Mike, how do you feel about Miami?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to improve much over last year. And I think there's teams that have improved enough to leave them on the outside of the wild card.
I think going back to last year, they had to survive a few games without Tua in the lineup. And they went to Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy's probably not going to win you any games. Maybe he doesn't lose them for you at least, but he might not win them for you. This year, they don't even have that. They've got a couple of really, really young guys behind him. If Tua goes down, their season is going to take a big dive. I'm kind of in the same boat. I've got them scrapping for a playoff position, but I think they come up just short. I don't think they get it, which is too bad because, you know, they had to be feeling pretty good. By the way, we're on the subject of Miami, and not to just give away the answer, Mike came out with a really good trivia question this last week. Longest drought for a Pro Bowl quarterback in the league by team belongs to the Miami Dolphins. Mike, what year was the last time they had a Pro Bowl quarterback?
1986, Danny Marino. Unbelievable.
Wow. That's insane.
That's a long time.
That's in this generation where I think in the last 2 years, 12 quarterbacks got named to the Pro Bowl, right? I mean,
With all the alternates and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a crazy statistic.
That really is. I mean, the fact that like the Browns and the Lions, and I think my first guess out was like the Jets or somebody like that. And you're like Bears. I think I guessed the Bears. And I was like, wow, going back to Marino, I thought somebody would have got in, but they didn't. Maybe that's why Miami continues to struggle. We move next to the New England Patriots, and they went 8-9 last year with a really solid defense. But what's kind of weird to think about, they didn't even have an offensive coordinator on the staff. They just kind of tried to ballpark it. Quarterback Mac Jones really needed one. He didn't have one. Well, Bill Belichick is bringing back Bill O'Brien to be the offensive coordinator this year in hopes maybe he can kind of kickstart this offense, get Mac Jones going. The Pats have brought in some receiving help. They got Juju Smith-Schuster. They drafted a couple guys. I don't know if it's going to fix it or not. Mike, more boring, this Patriots team or the current Patriots uniform?
Ooh, that's a toss-up.
It is close, right?
Dynamic does not enter the conversation when you're talking about the Patriots.
No.
They added Fat Zeke to the lineup, which may help a little bit, but...
looks like he ate Zeke.
Oh, my God. They're going to be disciplined, right? They're going to not make a ton of mistakes. They're not going to...
Unless it's on a, you know... pitchback play or something. Yeah.
Oh God. I don't know. Do you trust Mac Jones? I don't know. I just, there's too much top heavy talent in the AFC. Yeah. I don't see him breaking through this year.
Okay. Larry, you got Patriots in or no?
I do not have them in. They're not good enough. Just flat out. Right.
Rob, Patriots making the playoffs?
Not at all. This is a crash and burn. This is, they're going to look real bad, I think. We're going to start talking about Belichick on the hot seat midway through the season. That bad.
I could see that. I mean, when he had the dog do his draft, I think we all started wondering. But it does kind of seem like we're on a steady decline, and you're starting to wonder, mental faculties, are they starting to drift? Are they starting to fail a little bit? You know, not unlike our president, perhaps Bill Belichick is in the same boat. We finish off the AFC East with the New York Jets, who went 7-10 last year, but they have some really high hopes this year. I mean, there are people picking the Jets for the Super Bowl. Like we mentioned already, the Jets went out. They grabbed longtime Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and he's got some weapons. He's got Garrett Wilson. They pick up Mecole Hardman. That gives them two decent wideouts. Running back Breece Hall, if he's healthy, he could be a star. Plus, they even managed to sign Dalvin Cook. I was waiting for someone on the Jets to come out and be like, hey, we're an all-star team, because then we'd already know how this would end. But the Jets have a really good defense. That defense is loaded. Larry, the Jets have their best quarterback since probably Broadway Joe. How will they ruin him?
They probably will. Now, I don't know if it's them that will ruin him. He might ruin himself. You're right. He can do that for sure. The Jets, you know, we talked about them even last year, having, you know, they're kind of on the edge. They've got a lot of talent. What really hurts me is that I don't know if they know how to win. Maybe Rodgers brings that to them, you know, his leadership, what his version of that leadership. But it's been a while since he's been, you know, not top dog. So I don't know how even he's going to handle that. I actually do not have the Jets in the playoffs.
Okay.
Only for those couple of reasons. I'm not sure they really know how to win yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Rodgers knows how to utilize all that, all the different talent in a different team during a, you know, to start the season.
Rob, what about you? Do you have the Jets getting in?
No, Jets. This is actually my first team out. All the reasons Larry mentioned. Also with Rodgers, the wide receiver talent. It's talented, but it's young. Traditionally, Rodgers has had that go-to guy, Davante Adams, Cobb, Jordy Nelson back in the day, where going to him, I know he's going to be open. I can put it right there. And like I said, he doesn't have that yet. That could develop over time, similar to what we saw last season with Rodgers and the Packers. Like, it's going to take time for to develop that chemistry with the receivers. And like I said, I think I, you know, have them right there, but just too new. And like I said, this is actually my first team out. So okay, no go.
We have two no's on the Jets. Mike, how are you thinking about the Jets this year?
Opposite end of the spectrum. I actually, you mentioned it. They were the fourth ranked defense last year. That is a tough defense. Two-headed monster of Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall. Come on. I mean, you've got Garrett Wilson, who I think is special. I think he's going to be a top five wide receiver this year. He was a very good receiver last year with garbage quarterbacks throwing to him. Mm-hmm. How many wide receivers has Aaron Rodgers made into stars that thought they were top dogs, went to another team and disappeared?
Yeah.
He gets the most out of wide receivers. I definitely have them in the playoffs.
You've got them in. I have them scraping in. I'll tell you my concern for them. I'm concerned is the offensive line, because I'm watching them in the preseason, and no, I don't take that much from the preseason, but I'm seeing quarterbacks getting a lot of pressure, and that would be the one thing that could bother Aaron. I think he's got a ton of talent around him. If that pass rush is getting in his face every play, I think that makes things a little bit tougher. I have them getting in, but I have them getting in as a wild card. So we are split on that one. Keep your running tally on your playoffs, by the way, because, you know, there's going to be a test at the end. Let's move over to the NFC East, which just a few years ago was viewed as one of the worst divisions in the league. Last year, they sent three teams to the postseason. Now, the schedule is going to ramp up this year for this division. But, I mean, these are pretty good teams that are in this division. We'll see if they take a step back. We'll see if they can move forward. We will start with those Dallas Cowboys, who managed to upgrade their defense a little bit last year. I don't know that they were great, but they were better. The Cowboys went 12-5, but they lost in the divisional round of the playoffs to San Francisco. Like Mock talked about earlier, Ezekiel Elliott is gone. He's eating everything in sight. Tony Pollard is now the guy, but there's not a whole lot behind him. There might be a little bit of a lack of depth at running back. The Cowboys are going to be heavily dependent on Dak Prescott, and he's got to make better decisions and avoid those interceptions. That hasn't been a very good bet in the last few years. I guess if he's terrible, they can go to Trey Lance now. I don't know if they traded for him. I have no idea why. Rob, have the Cowboys been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet?
Not yet. Yeah, it is close. But no, I like the Cowboys this year. Like I said, I think they got a little bit better. Still the Cowboys, so we're, you know, right around 500 as usual.
Sure, that's who they
but
are.
But yeah, I've got them in the playoffs this year.
Okay. Mike, what about you? Cowboys in or no?
I think they are. Like you said, they took a step forward with their defense last year, and now they've got one of the best defensive backfields in football. So Micah Parsons, another year under his belt. I like the defense, good receiving core. Pollard did pretty well last year when he played there. So, but like you said, it's the depth behind him.
Yeah, because he's a slight guy.
In the playoffs, I don't think so, but I've got him in the playoffs.
Okay. Larry, you got Dallas in?
Yeah, I've got him in as a wild card. A lot of the same reasons in that division, which not exactly sure who the cream of the crop is going to be. I'll take Dallas. Yeah, in the wild card.
They've got as much talent as anybody probably in the league. They are loaded with talent. You do wonder, how much do you trust the quarterback? How much do you trust the depth? How much do you trust the coach? There's a few questions here with those Dallas Cowboys. We will see how they finish up. The New York Giants were one of the biggest surprises of the 2022 season. After they went 4-13 in 2021, the Giants bring in Brian Daboll. They go 9-7-1 last year. Then they go into Minnesota and beat the Vikings in the playoffs. Quarterback Daniel Jones got a big offseason contract. They also went out. They got tight end Darren Waller. The defense needs to improve. Mike, were the Giants a fluke last year? Are they actually this good of a team? Can they keep this going?
I don't know if it was a fluke, but if you look year to year, you know, with that kind of record, it's a 50-50 shot as to whether you make the playoffs year to year, right? So I think they're going to finish in a similar situation, but just be on the outside.
You've got the Giants just missing. Larry, what about you? Where are you sitting on the Giants?
I'm right there with Mike.
Just barely missing it?
Yep.
Okay. Rob, New York Giants, how you feeling?
Same for me. I don't think it was a fluke. I think they're a good team. You know, good wins again, but not making the playoffs.
You know, last year, Saquon Barkley had a phenomenal season. And we talked about running backs earlier. How many years can these guys have back-to-back-to-back kind of years? And you just wonder, you know, he's had some holdout talk and that kind of stuff. Does he come in? Does he get dinged? If so, you know, I'm right there too. I think they're going to have a tougher schedule. I think things could go wrong. Sometimes you get those close games that you win and the ball just bounces your way. I think they had some of that last year. I don't think it goes their way this year. For that reason, I have the Giants out as well. We reached the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles, who surprised a lot of people. They went all the way to the Super Bowl. They nearly won it. They probably should have won it. And then they allowed that huge comeback by the Kansas City Chiefs. Quarterback Jalen Hurts got a big new contract, and he plays behind a really good offensive line. He's got some people around him. The defense did lose a couple of key pieces. But more importantly, I think Philly lost both their coordinators. Now, keep in mind, teams that lose the Super Bowl rarely return. There has to be something to that. Just throwing that out there. Rob, you're an Eagles guy. Can the Eagles avoid that Super Bowl loss hangover?
Yes, I think they will. Biggest thing I'm worried about, the coordinator loss, like you mentioned. Yeah. The schedule gets tough, especially the end. But I think they stack up wins early in the season. So they're still making the playoffs. I actually have the Cowboys winning the division and the Eagles getting in as a wild card. So still a good squad. Schedule gets nasty, right? You know, towards the end of the season, but still a good team, still a good squad. And I got them going back to the playoffs.
Larry, how you feeling about Philly this year? They're going to get in?
Yeah, I have them winning the division. I know they take some hits and that was expected, but I think Philadelphia knows how to win. I think they'll have a little bit of the chip on their shoulder, but they're a good team. And I know they lost the coordinators. That is a tough blow, but I just think they're tough and they know how to win and they've got enough talent. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got them winning the division. Mike, we finish off with you. Philadelphia, how are they going to do this year?
I like them. They did lose a couple pieces of their defense, but we talked about this on the post draft. They stole both first round picks.
They might have got the best pick of the draft.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, there's reports saying that this guy is going to be trouble for the NFL for offensive linemen. I think their defense improved. You know, and it was second last year if you go by yardage, which I hate. Year three under Jalen Hurts, can he improve a little bit? I like him. I got him winning the division.
I like him too. And you know, a lot of people were kind of wondering, can Jalen make those decisions? I like Jalen's decisions. I like the way that kid thinks. I like the way he works. I like the way he operates. They're so tough at the line of scrimmage on both sides. Mm-hmm. Mike talked about Jalen Carter coming in defensively. he sounds like he is a wrecking crew. The offensive line is very good. Based on that alone, yeah, Philly's going to be in the hunt. I've got him as a wild card, but I've got him in and as a contender for sure. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be very, very tough again this year. We finish up the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, who are thrilled to be rid of owner Daniel Snyder, at least until they realize their quarterback is Sam Howell. The Commanders went 8-8-1 last year, and they did that without much offense at all. They didn't force any turnovers defensively. Now, here is my concern, and I have this with a couple of teams this year. I wonder if this team even wants to win, because they probably want to draft high. They probably want a clean house with new ownership. Larry, are head coach Ron Rivera and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy just going to be pure comedy to watch this year? Because I don't even know if that they can control it. I think it's going to be kind of a mess.
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, but I do think the players want to play, right?
Sure,
so they're going to go out on the field. They'll give it their all. But what has been a disaster, not unlike what we were going through in Denver for a long time, you know, it being really refreshing that new ownership is there. I'm sure they're trying to make changes, but, you know, it's still probably going to be somewhat of a disaster this next year. Yeah, I think Ron Rivera is on the hot seat. I don't know that, you know, Bieniemy necessarily is, but it's all about how Rivera handles game day. Right. And he'll be pretty good, I think. But man, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in Washington. And bottom line is, if you don't, you know, your quarterback isn't the best guy on the field, I don't know if you can win games.
Yeah. And we have no idea what Sam Howell brings. We saw him two games last year. He won the two games, but he played against two teams that didn't care if they won or not. So it's hard to gauge that much. Mike, you got Washington getting in this year?
No, I think everybody's kind of hit the nail on the head. It's hopefully on the road upwards for them, but I think it's been such a dysfunctional team. That may be a massive house cleaning at the end of the year.
Yeah, I could easily see that. You know, sometimes when we were coaching, we would say that it's not so much about what I have to teach you. It's about what I have to unteach you. I've got to get rid of all the crap you've had for the last few years. And they've had a lot in Washington. Rob, Washington, and how do you feel they're going to do this year?
I'm in agreement with everybody. I think they'll be better than expected, but still bad. Still very bad. Yeah, probably. I don't think they're, you know, I don't see them getting blown out a lot, you know, maybe in some games, you know, losing, you know, about 7 to 10 points, something like that. So it'll be kind of entertaining to watch, but definitely not making the playoffs.
Well, and when you look at that defense has some talent. There's some decent players over there. Rivera has done a decent job in the past of getting his defenses to play well. I just have a lot of doubts about that offense. I have a lot of doubts about their depth. I think they're going to have some problems. And like I said, it's going to be a tough road when I don't think the front office even really wants you to win. That's always tough to go against that. We arrive next at the AFC North Division, which was dominated for years by Pittsburgh. But right now, if things kind of broke right, I could see any of these four teams getting into the playoffs. Question I have is, are they going to beat each other up? Because they definitely could. This is a physical division right here. We begin with the Baltimore Ravens, who went 10-7 last year. They nearly pulled off a playoff upset over the Bengals with a backup quarterback in the offseason. The Ravens gave quarterback Lamar Jackson that big contract extension, but he's not a big guy. He's had a history of some injuries. They did go get some wide receiver help for him. They signed Odell Beckham Jr. No, he's not the guy he was, but he's still Odell. They drafted wide receiver Zay Flowers. Is that going to be enough help? Not sure. Mike, if Lamar Jackson can stay healthy and the Ravens can make the playoffs, can Lamar actually win playoff games?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's finally getting some wide receiver help. You know, those are some big capital underlined bold font ifs, right? Can he stay healthy? So. That's that probably cost them a couple games last year. You're always going to have a well-coached team with Harbaugh there. So, yeah, I've got him. I do have him in the playoffs. I think he can win one. I don't think they can go very far the way they're currently constructed.
Okay. Larry, how do you feel about the Baltimore Ravens? Are they going to make it this year?
Yeah, they'll make it. I have them in as a wild card. I think they've, you know, they've put a couple of pieces together. You're spot on about Lamar Jackson. But overall, I think they're a good enough team to be a wild card team.
Rob, we finished with you. You've been big on the Ravens the past few years. What are you going to do this year?
Still big on them. This is my division winner. Like I said, Lamar got his money. And the biggest thing for me, they're changing offensive coordinators this season. Yeah. Todd Monken's coming in. And I think they're going to throw a little bit more. I'm a believer that Lamar can throw. So, yeah, I'm in on the Ravens again. And I got them actually winning this division.
Okay. I am in on the Ravens. I'm going to have them as a wild card winner in this division. I like what they're doing. I think it may take some time to kind of come together because they are kind of trying to build this offense in a way from scratch. My concern is I don't know how much faith I can have in Odell Beckham Jr. It's not like he's just coming from straight over from the Rams. Right? He's coming after a season off. That's a long time. And you can come out in a game, two, three. Can you do it for 17? That's a much different story. I like Baltimore, but I like him more as a friend. We move next to the Cincinnati Bengals, who nearly went back to the Super Bowl last year. They went 12-4, and they came up just short against the Chiefs in that AFC title game. That game was a lot closer than maybe people remember. Joe Burrow is just a highly composed quarterback. He is proving to be up to the task every step of the way. They tried to upgrade the offensive line again. Didn't help much last year. Maybe it'll be better this year. The defense is still very good, but they did lose both of their starting safeties. Rob, running back Joe Mixon, is he still the guy? Because he keeps getting in trouble off the field. How much can we count on him on the field?
Yeah, still the guy on the field, at least this season. There might be some offseason stuff that gets him suspended later on.
Sure.
But yeah, still the guy. I've got the Bengals in as a wild card. I think their attitude is going to be a little bit more lax. I don't know if you heard like Jamar Chase talking about Burrow's injury and, you know, wanting him to sit. And I think that's kind of going to be their mindset a little bit, just to be more careful because they're focused on, you know, a Super Bowl at this point. So that's why I don't have them winning the division. Like I said, I think they're just going to kind of play it safe. Great offense, defense. We'll see. But yeah, still a good team. And I got them in as a wild card.
Okay. Larry, what about you? How are you thinking Cincinnati's going to do this year?
Yeah, I've got them in as the division winner. I think they're better than the other teams in the division. One thing I will say, Zach Taylor, right, head coach, we didn't talk about him being on the hot seat, but if they don't get where they need to be, I would imagine the expectations are that they're playing in the Super Bowl this year, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And they've got, you know, they've got a lot of resources, you know, to get there and do it. I like Burrow. I like the pieces around him. I think the offensive line will be better. You know, they're just kind of fine tuning, right? And so I think that they're a division winner.
Okay. You've got them winning it. Yeah. Mike, how do you feel about Cincinnati this year? They're going to the playoffs?
I think so. I agree with Larry. I think I got him as a division winner. I think shoring up the left tackle was huge. Here's it. Again, we're at the beginning of the season. Is there window shortening with three big contracts coming up?
I mean, have to wonder.
You got some incredibly talented offensive pieces there that I don't know how they're going to hold on to them. So I like Cincinnati. Every time we get on here and talk about it, you know how much I really love Burrow. So I've got Cincinnati winning that division.
Yeah, I do too. I've got Cincinnati winning the division. And, you know, for as much credit as Burrow gets and deserves, that defensive line deserves a ton of credit too, because every year they're pressuring quarterbacks, they're getting after people. And for the last 2 years, when they get in the postseason, we saw what they did to Josh Allen last year. We saw what they did to Patrick Mahomes for quite a while last year. They can get after people, and that changes your team. When you can put pressure on people up front, you know, and we've talked about some teams that can do that already. The Jets, the Bengals, at times, the Bills, Philadelphia, those kind of teams, I don't know, they just seem to have more success when you're stout up front. And I think Cincinnati might be one of those teams, at least offensively. I'm not quite as sold on their offensive line. Burrow is still getting hit far too much for my liking. We move next to the Cleveland Browns, who had hoped that when Deshaun Watson got there last season, he was going to cure all of their problems. He did not. He went just 3-3 as a starter. He looked really uncomfortable playing quarterback. He had just 7 touchdowns. He had 5 interceptions. Hey, that offense has some serious talent. There's no reason they should have been this bad. Larry, what's the number of that Cleveland masseuse you had to get Deshaun to kind of relax before games?
303. No, I don't have Cleveland in the playoffs, but it'll be interesting. I don't really know, right? I think Watson is going to be a pretty good quarterback, right? There's no debating the talent.
He can't be worse.
No, but you know, a lot of people want to root against him, but unfortunately, I think he's gonna, play pretty well. I just don't think Cleveland, you know, top to bottom, competes for a wild card or a division in that. So I have him out.
All right, Rob, how are you feeling about the Cleveland Browns? Is Deshaun going to lead him back to the postseason?
I don't think so. I got him out as well. Like Larry said, Deshaun's a good quarterback. I mean, if we got the old Deshaun back, I would say yeah. But I'm just worried it's almost like a Tiger Woods situation here, where he might have lost his swag and his mojo after that. You know, he was on top of the world, similar to Tiger, and stuff happens on the side and just never quite the same mentally. And so I think, you know, physically, still a big guy and everything, but I'm just worried about this whole situation that happened, that he just might have lost his confidence a little bit. And so I got him missing.
I've got them out as well. Mike, Cleveland, are you loving the land of the Cleve?
No, not at all. One thing it's about Deshaun is what he faces defense-wise on a routine basis, playing in that division, he didn't have to deal with.
No, you're right.
Those are three defenses that can get after you and crush you. So I don't know if he makes an adjustment this year. I don't know if he – I don't know. I don't see him progressing enough to get them into the playoffs. They've got some talent, a good defense. I just – that's a brutal division, and I don't see him coming out of it.
I don't either. I just don't know how you win those six games against those other opponents when they are as good as they are. And you bring up a good point because, you know, he was down in Houston – he's getting to face the Jacksonvilles and the Indies at the time, you know, not nearly as good as what they even are now. And, you know, maybe he just wasn't used to the he didn't want all that smoke, because those guys in that division, they're going to get after you quite a bit. And they did. And he looked really, really uncomfortable. He looked like he didn't want to be there half the time. Yeah, I've got Cleveland out as well. I think we've got four votes here that the Cleveland Browns are going to be out. We finish off the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're coming off, to me, what has to feel like a better than expected season. I know they went just 9-8, but you lost Big Ben. They go through a couple of veteran quarterbacks that don't really look that great. And they kind of get rookie Kenny Pickett to come out and look like he might be the guy. He could be the guy to run this job for a while. The Steelers won their final four games. The defense really improved last season. Going into the year, we weren't quite sure. They kept getting better. Mike, is Kenny Pickett going to have that sophomore kind of slump, or is he going to keep this going?
Yeah, that is really the linchpin for that team, because like you mentioned, that defense is stout, and I can't imagine it, you know, picking up what was the rookie they got? Porter, right? Porter Jr.?
Yep.
I think their defense improved. Good young wide receivers, good running back. I don't think he's going to escalate to – I think he would almost have to be superstar status, top 6-7 quarterback to get that team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be just on the outside, maybe like they were last year. That's going to be an interesting watch for them, is to see how Kenny Pickett does this year. I've got him just missing the playoffs.
Just missing. Okay. Larry, can Kenny Pickett get the Steelers into the postseason?
So I've got him out. I think the Steelers have an opportunity, though, more than anything else. You know, they've got an opportunity with their schedule. If they can win all the games that they should win, that they I'll be proved wrong and they'll get a wild card. But that's not always the way it happens. And I think with a new quarterback, I think that's kind of why I'm leaning with them being out.
Okay. We've got two votes for out. Rob, Pittsburgh Steelers going to make it?
Yes, I've got the Steelers in. This was my last team in. It's Mike Tomlin, so yeah. They're going to have a winning season. So the floor is kind of 9-8 right there. Mike said, the defense got better. Pickett, you don't need a whole lot from him. Like I said, a second year. And again, you don't need a whole lot more game management. So I've got him in. This was my last team in as a wild card.
I really struggled with this one. I went back and forth on this. I had him in. I had him out. And right now, today, at this moment, I have the Steelers out but that's how close it was because I really was going back and forth on them. I could see them getting in. And the one thing I kept coming back to was of the teams I was putting in, I put Kenny Pickett at the very bottom of the list of the teams that I did have getting in. For that reason, I bumped the Steelers out. But on that same thing, kind of like what these other guys said, I have them right at the edge. I have them right there. They could scrape their way in if things kind of break their way. They get some help with injuries or whatnot. I think they're right there. I just have them out. We are going to finish up this week's edition of the NFL preview. We're clearly not going to get all the way through this in one day. We're going to have to do some more here. But we're going to move to the NFC North that is trying to get back to that era where every team in this division is a playoff contender. I don't think we're there quite yet. We're going to start with the Chicago Bears, who were the worst team in the league a year ago. The Bears went 3-14, but a number of so-called experts are really liking what they saw from the Bears this offseason. They went out, they traded to get two linebackers, Tremaine and TJ Edwards. I think they're related, but they're both really good. They also got defensive end DeMarcus Walker. Those are good moves because the Bears had the worst pass rush in the entire league. Quarterback Justin Fields led the Bears in both rushing and passing, and people are really excited about that for some reason. The Bears also made that trade to get wide receiver DJ Moore, who head coach Matt Eberflus immediately said, "This is our top offensive player." Rob, how bad must your offense be if DJ Moore is the best player on it?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. I've heard all the hype, but I'm not buying it. I guess they tried to help him, but they need more. So I got him missing. I think an improvement. We get a slight improvement. But yeah, I'm not buying the hype. I got the Bears missing the playoffs.
Yeah, it's such a big step for them to take being so bad. And people are talking about maybe they could be a dark horse playoff contender. I'm looking at it going, I didn't see much improvement at the point of attack. I didn't see them get a better offensive line. I saw them get some, you know, edge positions, but I don't see that. Larry, you got the Chicago Bears doing anything this year?
I don't. And I think, you know, for a couple of reasons that were just stated, Rob, you know, they don't have that identity. And if they don't have it, Fields is going to continue to be kind of, what do? Run, pass, don't really know. And they can say they got him, you know, help, but not enough to be really solid in him being confident. So no, I don't think they've improved enough to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Mike, Chicago Bears going to do anything whatsoever this year?
Yeah, in April they're going to be picking in the top 10.
Excellent answer.
That's it in a nutshell. They were so bad, the improvement has to be historic for them to even sniff the playoffs. So
right.
it's a bottom feeder team again.
Yeah, they could come out and have a great year this year and win 5 games. And for what they have, that would really be improvement, and you'd have to feel pretty good if you're a Bears fan, because I don't get it. I know a lot of people are big right now, and so many people are so excited, you know, about what we've seen already, you know, from this young quarterback, but you're running an awful lot. The NFL defenses have a way of evening that playing field. You're not going to run that much longer if you keep doing that stuff. You're going to have to find some different ways to operate. Let's move next to the Detroit Lions, who looks like they might be ending the league's longest playoff drought very soon. Head coach Dan Campbell, say what you want about the guy, he gets them to play hard. But last year, they started really slow. They were 1-6 out of the gate. But then they kind of got rolling. And the offense under Jared Goff found their stride. The Lions won 8 of their last 10 games. If that defense could improve just a little bit, this team could be very, very dangerous. A lot of people are expecting the Lions to make a playoff run this year. Larry, this franchise does really well with high expectations, right?
We've seen it year over year over year.
Every year.
Well, they're going to make a run of at least one because I have them winning the division, right?
All right.
I don't know how they don't. I guess I do. They could figure a way out how to do it. But I think they're good enough. I think and a lot of it's going off of what the momentum they showed at the end of the year last year. And I love, you know, Campbell. He, like you said, he gets those guys to play hard, and they do play hard. So yeah, they do. I have them in. I've got them winning the division. Yep.
Larry's got Detroit winning the NFC North. Mike, where do you come in on the Lions? They're going to do it this year?
I think the fans and the team have been chomping at the bit since week 17 last year, or I guess 18 with this new stupid schedule. Right. The way they finished that season, they needed a couple things to fall in line for them to make the playoffs, but whatever. The way they finished, the way Campbell coaches, I like Goff a lot. I definitely have them in the playoffs this year. They're going to break that streak.
Division winner, wild card team?
I have them wild card.
Okay.
I have them wild card.
We move next to Rob. Rob, what do you see from Detroit?
Streak lives on. I've got them out. This is my first team out. I still think they're going to be very good, very competitive. I just think they're going to end up on the wrong side of a couple close games. Just last possession, you know, those single score games. I got them on the wrong side of some of those. So this is my first team out.
I am right there with Rob. I have this team just missing the playoffs. I don't trust the defense. And I'm going to be honest, I don't trust Jared Goff enough. I like that offense, but can Jared Goff have what he had last year, which was an incredible offensive year? I don't trust it. I don't trust that franchise. For that reason, I'm going to say the Lions get out. And honestly, just out of habit, I'm just going to say they're out because that's just what they did. We move next to the Green Bay Packers, who are going through a little bit of a transition. They traded away quarterback Aaron Rodgers because he's a really bad guy, and they went 8-9 last year. They just missed the playoffs in Rodgers last year. Now, Rodgers in the front office, they say they weren't even communicating. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't get him help. He wouldn't talk to them. So they shipped him off to New York. Now, this defense is solid. I don't think it's great, but it's good. The running game could be very good if they would maybe feed those running backs a little bit more. The Jordan Love era has now officially begun. Mike, we know what happens in Green Bay. They just have Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just how this goes. Jordan Love is going to be another Hall of Famer, right?
No. If they went 8-9 with Rodgers last year, as disenfranchised as you may have been, I don't think you're going to duplicate that this year with Jordan Love. I think he would have to play out of his mind to be an average quarterback this year. I got him missing the playoffs easily.
Rob, how are you looking at Green Bay this year?
Same here. I got him missing. We'll see on Jordan Love, and that receiving core is super young too. Yeah. So just too new. So I got him missing the playoffs.
All right, Larry, what do you got for the Green Bay Packers this year?
I've got Green Bay in as a wild card.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm not, you know, trying to overthink this one. I know Love is a new quarterback, but I just don't know. I don't see anybody else coming out of the rest of the conference. So I've got them as a wild card.
Packers get in. I'm going to go Packers out. I kind of am siding with Mike as far as they couldn't get in with Rodgers. Take away Rodgers, they're really not going to get in. And unless they can really find a running game that they're just going to lean on, which will make life easier for Love. I mean, but you also have to figure he's a rookie. I mean, I know we're going to say he's in his third year or whatever. He's a rookie. He hasn't been in crunch time. And I think that's going to be very, very tough. Let's finish out this division with the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, last year it was starting to look like Minnesota. They might be a team of destiny. They went 13-4 and they just kept coming up with these crazy ways to win these really close, wild finish games. The defense was awful, but Kirk Cousins actually managed to keep coming up with big plays when he needed to. Well, now Dalvin Cook is gone. That schedule is going to be tougher. There's no way this team is going to go 11-0 in one score games again, right? Because that just doesn't happen very often. I think this is a huge year for the Vikings, though. They need to win because when this contract with Kirk Cousins ends, and it's about to, they're going to kind of have to rebuild this whole thing, aren't they? Rob, can Kirk Cousins do un-Kirk Cousins things and come through in the clutch when they need him to?
As long as it's not in prime time.
There you go. He's got to keep those morning games.
Yeah. But this is my division winner. Like you mentioned, the window's closing here, but Kirk can still sling it. Wide receivers are great. Great offense. They brought in Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator, which I think that's going to help a little bit. So, again, I don't think it's, you know, like you said, 11-0 in the one-score games, but I think they have enough here to win the division.
Okay. Okay. You're going to put Minnesota in, got them as a division winner. Larry, Minnesota going to make this postseason?
Yeah, they'll make it. I got them in as a wild card.
Okay. You've got the Vikings in as a wild card team. We finish off with Mike. How are you looking at these Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, I've got them battling with Detroit and ultimately winning maybe by a game, winning the division. I just think the wide receiving core is insane. I don't even know who their starting running back is now, so that might
excellent
be
a question.
Kirk Cousins is an above average quarterback, right? I mean,
yeah.
Top 10, 12, maybe. I don't know, but he's a very good quarterback. I've got him just eking out and winning the division.
Yeah, I've got them scraping out the division as well. One thing that I keep going back to is I was going over this division, same thing. I was looking at who's the quarterback, and you know, you've got Justin Fields, you've got Jordan Love, you've got Jared Goff, and you've got Kirk Cousins. And for that reason, I think that the teams that we like the most coming out are the Lions and the Vikings. They've got the two best quarterbacks easily above the other two teams. And I think that's why we made the picks that we did. All right, gentlemen. We've still got a ways to go because we haven't gotten to the AFC and NFC South. We haven't gotten to the AFC and NFC West. And I'm telling you right now, those two West divisions are going to be stacked with talent and with competition. But unfortunately, you know, it's kind of like on the Brady Bunch. When you got down to the end of it, you're like, I don't know. They still haven't gotten off the island. What are they going to do? We're going to have to postpone this and go to next week because we just don't have enough time in an hour-long show. But I'm hoping that the three of you can join us again for next week and we can break down the rest of this and make our picks for the playoffs and make our picks for Super Bowl 58. I believe it's going to be 58 this year. And I believe it's going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. What could possibly go wrong there? Any final thoughts as we finish this week off, as we go into week number two next week? Mike, I'm going to open the floor to you. What do you have final thoughts for us on this opening week of the NFL preview?
Well, it won't be the Super Bowl host team having their home team in the Super Bowl this year.
I wouldn't think so. It's going to be tough.
I pretty much bet on that one. But this is, again, this is always so much fun. And it's always fun at the end of the year to see how wrong we all were. So
we never are. We're always exactly right. Every week we get this, or every year we get this exactly right. I don't have to cut anything. We don't come back mid-season to redo our picks. We don't do any of that. Rob, any closing thoughts for us as we finish out week number one?
No, halfway down. Still have to go. A lot of good stuff coming up. So see you next week.
Sounds very, very good. Larry, the wise veteran, what do you have for us to close out our week number one of this NFL preview?
Just the best is yet to come. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all for stopping by. We're going to have you by next week, and we're going to finish this off. We're going to make our picks. We're going to get this right. And as usual, we're going to have a great time doing it. But thank you all for coming into the Daily Dose. We always appreciate your contributions to the show.
See you next time.
Hey, next week on the Dose, we need to finish up this NFL preview. Our esteemed panel will be back to finish touching on every team in the league and to make our picks for Super Bowl 58. So make sure you stop by the Dose next week and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to our illustrious panel, Mike, Larry, and Big Rob, for stopping by the Daily Dose and breaking down the first half of the 2023 NFL season. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over and checking out the new things going on over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the podcast, for sharing the video, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and have a very safe and happy Labor Day weekend.
I'm just so glad it's back.